You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has given us something worth waiting for. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, hold on a sec. I'll be right back. All right, I'm coming back. A lot of you, given everything that we've said thus far, the children's sermon, the question, a lot of you have probably figured out what that was all about. But in some ways, I think we don't actually like really grasp it until we're actually in that place where we're kind of waiting. And, you know, it maybe takes a brave pastor to actually do that much dead air. But hopefully what it did was it got you into that kind of place where you were like, oh, yeah, I remember this. This is what it's like to wait. And so, you know, maybe some of you did a few different things. Maybe you kind of looked at the person next to you. Maybe you just took some time to stare at the stained glass window. Maybe you checked your phone and you said, hey, I've got a message. Maybe you did something else. Maybe you just got really angry at me. Whatever it was, there was some experience that you had of waiting. And all of the readings today talk about that experience of waiting. Every single one of them has this kind of sense of like, okay, we're waiting for God to do something. Specifically, all of these readings point forward to a day when God returns to earth and he, quote unquote, judges it in righteousness. Now, that's a moment that we look forward to as Christians, or at least we should look forward to as Christians. But in some ways, there's also a little bit of us that goes, I don't know. I'm not sure that I'm really waiting on that. Because in there, we also have a lot of conversation in these readings about what's going to happen. That when God comes to judge the world in righteousness, that it doesn't actually sound like something that's always real good. Because we recognize that there's something here that we bump up against that we go, oh, I'm not so sure about that. You know, the one thing that this may bring up for you is a very real reality that you are mortal. That there is a time that you are waiting for, maybe not waiting for expectantly, but you know that you're waiting for it to happen in that there's going to be a moment where you close your eyes for the last time. There's going to be a moment where you take that last breath. There's going to be a moment where this body, because of sin, is going to stop functioning. And, well, that's a little awkward for us because we don't like thinking about that. We don't like thinking about our own death. But in some ways, that's why this Sunday's readings are here, to force us to kind of say, okay, what do I think about that day that I'm waiting for? What do I think about that day where I'm going to pass away, that day that I'm going to have my last breath, that day that I'm waiting for, but I don't quite know when it's coming? The other thing that can be kind of awkward about these readings is that, well, we know people. We know people that are not connected to the church. We know people that are not connected to Christ. In fact, in the prayers of the day, we have been for about 2 months now praying for three people that we know that are not connected to Christ or his church. And these are scary readings for those people, because we recognize that without being connected to Christ, that those people stand a very real chance of being in eternal damnation, in a place where they receive the just reward for their sins without the forgiveness of Christ. And that's a scary reality as we think about that for the people that we know. The people that we know that are in our classes, the people that we know that are in our jobs, people that we know that are in our families, the people that we know that are in our neighborhoods. And so these readings, a lot of times, are difficult for us to deal with as Christians, because, well, we just don't want to look at that. We want to kind of look away from those realities. We want to look away from our own death, and we want to look away from the judgment of the people that are around us. But what these readings also do is that they show us that, well, there's some stuff that God has given us to do. There's actually something to these readings that tells us that there's some urgency to what we have been given to do as Christians. There's a deadline here. There's something that is pressing upon us that says, okay, what do I do with this time? What do I do while I wait? Do I just sit and look at my phone and try to distract myself? Do I look around at the other people and kind of make these faces that say, well, I don't know? Do we get angry at God for keeping us on the line for that long? Do we hum a little tune to ourselves? What do we do while we wait? Well, there seems to be a few things in these readings. The first one of those comes from the prophet who begins our Old Testament reading. He says that something that we're supposed to do is to remember God's law. And that's a very poignant thing for the prophet to bring to us, because what he's doing is he's saying, hey, remember that God has given you scripture. He's saying that to people right after the people of Israel have returned to the promised land. They've been waiting for something, and now they've returned to the promised land, and now they're waiting again for this day when God returns. And he says, the first thing that you should do is remember that you have a Torah. Remember that you have scripture. Remember that you have the word of God. And while you're remembering that, remember the promises that he's made you. Remember the promises that he has made you in his word. Remember those things, because they're going to help you. They're going to help you while you wait. They're going to help you by remembering his promises given to you. And yet there's other things that we are called to do as we wait. We're not just called to simply go back to our dorm rooms or our apartments or our houses and open up the text and say, okay, I remember, I'm ready to take the quiz, God. Because he didn't give us that scripture just as something to know in our heads and be ready to take a test on. But rather, he gave us those words as things that we can live out in our lives. Things that we can do in order to say, okay, this is what God has given me to do. But when we look at those things, when we actually remember those things, when we actually read those scriptures, one of the things that happens is we start reading that scripture and we start going, oh, I actually don't pass the test. I can't pass the quiz. I haven't done these things. You know, the old cliche goes that, if God is your father and he told you to go to your room and clean up your room, you're not supposed to return back and said, Father, I thought about the grammatical structure of when you said, go to your room and clean up your room, and I'm ready to write a 5-page paper on what that was saying. Instead, you're supposed to go and clean up your room. And that's a bit of what's going on here, is that we recognize that, and when we recognize that, we are led to a second R, a R of repent. This word that means to change, to shift, to turn around, that we're called to remember. But as we remember, we're then led to repent. But we don't stop at repenting either. We have Psalm 98 as one of our readings today, and that psalm is all about rejoicing. It's about rejoicing in what God has provided for us. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us salvation. He hasn't called us to be just people who go, oh, God gave me an assignment, and I did not do that assignment, and now I am going to be really somebody nobody wants to hang around. But rather, God has said, you get to rejoice. You get to be somebody who's, believe it or not, happy. I mean, for some of you, that's a problem. But God has said, I've given you something to be happy about. I've given you something to be joyous about. I've given you something that even in the midst of the difficulty of your life, and the difficulty of your life is very real. But even in the midst of those very real things, God has given you a reason to rejoice. And finally, he's given you an opportunity to remain. To say, okay, I'm going to stay in this. I'm going to remain in God's word. Jesus says that his word will not pass away, and that we can stay in that. And as we remain in that word, there's things that we can do. As we remain in that word, then the three other things just double over on themselves over and over and over again. That if we're remaining in God's word, what we're doing is that we're remembering that word, we're reading it, and then we're repenting of the things that we recognize have been going wrong in our lives and turning by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, rejoicing again, because we've been forgiven, we've been offered the grace that Jesus Christ has given to us. And that's what our life is like. Martin Luther said it this way when he was writing the 95 Theses. The 95 Theses, this thing that he put up on a church door in Wittenberg saying, hey, I've got some arguing points here. One of his first arguing points was this, that the Christian life is one of repentance. And by that, he meant that whole system that I was just talking about, that remembering to go to the Word of God and letting that Word of God actually work into our hearts and our minds and our bodies. And then repenting and saying, well, I'm not there yet. I'm not quite here. I need to make some adjustments. I need to make some turns, and I need the Holy Spirit to help me do that. And then receiving his forgiveness and saying, I have a reason to rejoice. because, well, I should be very afraid of that day when he comes back. But I know that because of what Christ has done for me, I am forgiven. And when he comes back, I can rejoice, knowing that I'm not going to reap the rewards of my sin, which are terrible things. But rather, I am going to be brought into eternal life with the very Son of God who is making the world new. That happens over and over again in this community. Happens over and over again in Christ's church, and this is a manifestation of Christ's church. And so as we, later on, we bring up new members here. One of the things that we all recognize is that being members of this church means that a part of that in any way is that we're all in this together. We're all doing our best to remember God's word. That's why we read it here every Sunday. We're all doing our best to repent because we come here every Sunday and together as a unit we say, yup, that's me. I haven't done this. And we all come together to rejoice, giving thanks to God for our salvation. You've been brought into a community of people that are all doing this together. Week in and week out, every day, every month, every year. There may be little things that change, but those things stay the same. Until that moment when Christ does return and we're all brought into a resurrection where there is eternal justice, where there is eternal mercy, where life will be different. And we look forward to that day because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So as you go out into this week, may you know that the clock is a ticking. And may that bring some urgency to your life. And may it remind you to do those three things: to remember, to repent, and to rejoice. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.